Acts chapter number 19, notice what he said. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. In the same time, there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying they be no gods which are made with hands." Well, you know what? They didn't need a god made with hands. They found a true and living God. So actually, through this story, Paul wanted to go to Rome, but the Lord wanted him in Asia. Isn't that wonderful how God, maybe we have ambition, but God says, hey, this is where you need to be. And I'll tell you what, it's better to follow God's will than to follow self-ambition. Paul wanted to go, but God said, here, I want you here. And he listened to the preciousness of the Holy Spirit. Prevalent during this time in this great city of Ephesus was Diana worship. And she was a fertility goddess, and their greatest temple was constructed in Ephesus. Isn't it wonderful how this great area of godlessness and idol worship was there, and God said, I need a missionary there. Isn't that wonderful? God knows where to put missionaries at in dark places. And so here, Paul gets there, and you know what? You know what the message is, and you know what the mission is for missionaries to continue to do? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Give them the gospel. Give them the light of Christ. And so Paul went in there and preaching gospel, and wonderful things were happening. People were being saved. Lives were being saved. And prevalent during this day was that Diana worship. So they would make these silver shrines of the shrine there, and then they would make these little trinkets of Diana. So Demetrius, which was the leader of the group, and what has happened when people were getting saved, they were getting rid of them idols, amen? That's a good thing that was happening. They were worshiping a true and living God. They were getting rid of these idols, and all of a sudden, guess what? This group of businessmen was coming after Paul's ministry to the point of physically wanting to harm him. Now go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. This is the coinciding chapter of this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And kind of see how this is laid out here. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He said, "For we would not, brethren..." Let me let you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 8. Notice what he said. He said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignored of our trouble which came to us in Asia." You know, it's good for a missionary not to let his supporting churches or those churches pray for him be ignorant. Amen? They ought to know about their ministry. Ought to know what's going on, what's the heartbeat of the ministry, what's going on. And you say, why? Not being negative, but putting something positive that God's doing in his prayer letter, but also letting you know, hey, this is what's going on. Churches want to know that, don't they? He said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to an Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of even of life." I mean, they were at the point, man, they were struggling with this. This was the stress of life coming at them. They were feeling the pressure of Demetrius and his group. And he said, "We were even fearing for ourselves." Notice what he said in verse number 9. He goes, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth dead." They knew that sentence of death in their life. They knew, "For the wages of sin is death." They knew that. They knew, and Paul said, we had that sentence of death, but we knew that we could trust in God. Amen? Thank God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And Paul said, listen, if we can trust God to save me, we can trust God to get us through this. Amen? Listen, if we got a God that can save us, don't we have a God that can handle our little life's problems and situations? thank God, give it to Jesus. I'm glad that we have a God that can handle things that come our ways. And here this was coming to Paul's way. Notice what he said. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Wait, if notice what he said. Who delivered us from so great a death? Wow. So he's talking about that past deliverance. Hey, do you remember the day that you got saved? Amen. Thank God for salvation. I believe, Pastor, I was reading your biography today, age of 13, correct? God got a hold of your heart. I was at the age of 11. Do you remember when the Lord began to knock at your heart door? Thank God for salvation. Boy, so the Lord is talking about past deliverance here. Then notice what he said here. Who delivered us from so great a death. I'm glad that I'm saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, make tonight your salvation. Notice, who delivered us from so great a death. Not only do we see past deliverance, and doth deliver. Paul said we have past deliverance, but thank God we have present deliverance. Amen. Hey, we don't have a God of the past. We have a God of the present too. Amen. Hey, the Lord can deliver us in our present need. Listen, there's not anything that we're going through that God cannot help and protect us. You know, this is something that our pastor's been leaning on. Listen, God has always had a remnant. Listen, there's still a remnant. God works through a remnant. And you know what? God has put a remnant right here in Goshen, Ohio, to let people see how real God is. But we got a God that's delivering in the present. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're tired sometimes. Hey, you know what? If you work hard for the Lord, sometimes you get tired, don't you? Sometimes you get a little discouraged, don't you? But you know what? We have enough of the Lord to help us to continue to keep on, to keep on, to keep moving on, to refresh. He said, listen, not only am I past deliverance, but I'm present deliverance. Oh, but listen, get a hold of this. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. And Paul was talking about a situation, but also applicable future deliverance. Amen. Hey, hang on. It's just a short time. We're going home. Amen. Thank God we're going home. He's talking about future deliverance. Then notice what he said in verse 11. Now he's writing to this church and to these group of believers. Notice what he said. He said, you saw what was going on in our ministry. You're a part of our ministry. You're helping us. Notice what he mentioned first. I thank God missions is about partnership. It's about missionaries being laid hands on from their local church, being sent out, and other churches partnering with that missionary's local church to help that missionary get to the field. Amen. It's a wonderful thing what God's doing. And he said, listen, I thank God. Listen, missionaries cannot do it without you, and you cannot do it without them. And I thank God that you're mission-minded. And listen, the missionary needs that financial support to help them to maintain. And Paul mentions that gift. But notice the first thing what he said. He didn't mention finances, did he? He said, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He said, listen. He said, going through this situation, money couldn't change it. He said, but what you did through prayer changed it. Listen, there's things that prayer can do that a dollar bill cannot do. Amen? And Paul said, listen, I thank God for your giving, but I want to thank God for your prayers. Boy, thank God for praying for missionaries. You know, I'm pretty sure that you take a time to break down your missionaries. I'm sure that you spend time in your Sunday school classes and you're lifting up your missionaries. We try to do on Sunday night, we pray for two of our missionaries, and then on Wednesday night we pray for our missionaries. And you know what? I could see the prayers of God's people. And all the years that we've been in ministry, people praying for us about situations and things that have made a difference. I just want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I just want to maybe give you some ideas and thoughts on ways to pray for your missionaries. Maybe you have a way. I'm not sure how many missionaries you support, but maybe take a couple days. How many missionaries? Huh? How many missionaries, Pastor? 33 missionaries. So maybe take one or two a day and lift them up in prayer. But let's just go and go, Lord, in prayer. Father, help us now tonight. Lord, give us your strength. Give us your encouragement words, we pray. And just some thoughts and ideas on ways to pray for missionaries, Lord. We thank you for a church that loves missions. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's important. Pray for your missionary's appointment. Man, I'll tell you what. Old Jonah. Remember God said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. They need revival. God, I don't want to go down to Nineveh. I want to go to Joppa. So he jumped on that ship, got down to Joppa, and he got on the Joppa Express. Man, as that old boat was moving along, there were some things going on. They knew he wasn't right. They got rid of him, man. They threw him in the ocean. That great fish came and swallowed him up. And that fish even realized he wasn't in the will of God. Got a hold of old Jonah's heart, spit him out. You know, Jonah was in that process of getting right, but God sent a revival to Nineveh, amen? But God had a place for Jonah. You know, God has an appointment. Pray for that missionary's appointment. Each place offers unique things. So pray for your missionary's appointment. Pray for the place. Pray for that labor of love that God has led that missionary to. Boy, I'll tell you, I thank God. Our field has been the military. I love being around military. That's why we were out in California since we were out there when we first came back, getting in colleges and churches there. But I missed the heartbeat of being around the base. And my pastor felt like, hey, you need to get back close to a base where you can be more hands-on with these families and maybe even get missionaries as a result of working in and through that church. And so we went to Fort Hood, Texas. But that's my heartbeat. I love it. I love being around. I love that green when they come into church. I tell them, hey, guys, come to church. If you can't change this, come to church. I remember Karen, guys would get off work and come to church. My wife would make sandwiches. We'd have sandwiches laying out for guys just getting off duty. And I tell them, hey, you come. You come from work. You come straight from work. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to be in my uniform all day. I like to be in a tire, or I like to be in something respectful for church. I said, listen, God's honored that you just come to church and you wear that uniform. You come into church, but that's my heartbeat. That's that place, that labor of love that God has led that missionary to. Listen, you may not be called to go because God called you here. Listen, the sendee is just as important as the sender. And think about this, that missionary is led to that place. There's some places I don't know if I could go. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. Oh, bless them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had to go down where the anacondas are, I'd be running around with a 50 caliber, amen? Yeah. Man, I'd shoot them. I was working down at Lake Texoma. You say, and they were asking me, I had a 9mm on my hip all day, man. I was weed eating, I was mowing grass, but even though it was cold, I was waiting for the first one to come out and I was going to light it up, amen? I'm serious. I hate snakes, man. And Texas has them, amen. And I was a little worried about down there, but there's some places that maybe I prefer. Now, if God called me, I would go. But God doesn't call me. But God calls people to them places, and that's that place, that labor love that God gives them in the heart. So pray for that place. Then pray for your missionary's appointment. Pray for the plan. The most effective way that God can use that missionary in that place of labor of love. Pray for that plan. You know, the methods may change, but the mission does not. Amen? Now, pastor may do something here as you're like a little bit more of a rural area than maybe what we may do in another ministry. It does not make one right or one wrong, does it? No, methods may be a little bit different, But the message is still the same. So maybe God will give that missionary that plan to reach that group of people. Amen. We're not talking about him compromising or anything like that. But we're talking about how God would lay on that missionary's heart the way of reaching people in the most effective way. How many would be all right with me saying that? Then pray for the missionary's appointment, the possibilities, that opportunity of ministry that awaits that missionary. I think every field is a possibility. Amen. What a blessing. Even with your church planting, you see what God did where there wasn't a church there. Then God sent your missionaries there and God opened up possibilities. Pastor was sharing with me about that building, man, that missionary got. Praise God. Hey, we could use a building of Fort Hood. Amen. We got one building here. We need another building. We got pastor nervous the other day. We started talking about another building, and we're trying to pay off the one building. Pastor's going to get me if he listens to live stream. But we were all in our business meeting, and one of the men talked about the building, and pastor got all quiet, man. but we know that God is going to do something, and we just want to wait on him. But every place you go is a possibility of what people are possibilities, amen. When you look at people, hey, that's a possibility. God can use that person. That's potential. You know, I think about the young people here. What a blessing. Their potential. Pastor, that's a lot of weddings, amen. You've been a busy man. I gotta tell you something. When I came off the field, I never did a wedding over there because you had to register within Germany. So I never did a wedding until one of our former church members says, Pastor, would you come do my wedding? I was nervous, Pastor. So I'm asking Pastor Garver, hey, you got some outlines that you... He said, if I knew that, I'd let you did one of mine over the summer. I said, Pastor, pray for me. I don't mess up this young people's wedding. I'm nervous. And so you want to hear something funny? So the bride and groom, we're getting ready. They ought to be the ones nervous. And they're like, Pastor, don't be nervous. they're settling me down. Another one getting nervous. But it all went well. Maybe I'll tell you that story at the end about how God used that family. Number one, pray for your missionary's appointment. Number two, pray for your missionary's assurance. This is not salvation. Not every field is saying send us a missionary. Some fields are saying we don't want a missionary. And there's the battle of evilness that's there. But that's the greatest place where a missionary needs to be, amen? So pray for your missionaries. You know, and a lot of times if a missionary is rightly instructed, he's not going to write prayer letters all the time talking about the burdens. At least I always told our missionaries, be careful about that because churches are going to think, this guy lives defeated. We go through battles and we have to have victory. So you want to be careful about that. But you know, the fact is, there is darkness sometimes, isn't there? And sometimes they're discouragement. There's depression that gets involved. There's discouragement. So pray for your missionaries during them times. And sometimes there's that battle of distance. Missionaries, parents leaving children, grandparents going to the field, or children leaving parents and grandchildren. I'll never forget the best thing. I'm so thankful years ago when we walked to that tarmac. Karen's dad was all about, her mom was all about, dad and mom was all about having Karen in the will of God. I'll never forget when we crossed that tarmac, Karen had some tears and I grabbed her just a little bit closer and put her beside me and I watched her dad and mom cry tears. And I looked at Karen and she looked at me. You know what she said on the plane? Honey, I have no regrets. I'm glad my wife still has no regrets. We could leave tomorrow to Africa and she'd be willing to go. Thank God for that. But you know, there's been that battles of distance. But thank God FaceTime came along. Hallelujah. Amen. Good old Skype and FaceTime, man. I mean, it's changed a lot. It's helped missionaries. Thank God. I mean, you can live stream them into your service now. Isn't that wonderful? Man, thank the Lord for that. But pray for your missionary's assurance. Then pray for your missionary's adjustment. There's a lot of adjustments. People get to the field. There's the spiritual adjustment. I mean, you've been around good churches and pastors. You're encouraged. But now you're preaching 3 sermons a week. You're studying. So there's that spiritual adjustment. And there's some lonely paths. Pray for the spiritual. That's the soul. Pray for the physical. How many have gotten letters from missionaries that their going through physical trauma on the field or just physical things happening on the field. The body, man, just the turmoil, you're learning, you're building buildings, you're trying to get things done, and physically it takes a toll. Maybe you're in Africa, and what's that, malaria that they get, and things of that nature. You're in that third world company, so there's that physical, that's the body. Then there's the cultural, man, the cultural change. That works on your mind. Man, I'll never forget, like, the way that, anybody ever been to Germany? So the way they build things, and so, you know, my thinking, and listen, I am far from your mechanical guy. I want you to know that, okay? I'm a terrible mechanical guy. So it's hard enough. Then you walk in, something breaks, and you think the store is set up like Walmart, amen, or Lowe's. And nothing is like that, and it's different. It messes with you. And then, you know, you go to get your passports renewed, and you know you handed everything in, then all of a sudden, the consulate says, well, we can't find your paperwork, amen? Hey, there's some cultural differences. You know, I can't even drive on the right side, but driving on the left side. So when we went to England, I told my wife, she's like, are you driving? I said, no. She was like, praise God, honey. Man, I didn't want to drive over there, man. We got a missionary that's in England. Maybe the Lord allowed me to go visit them sometime. And I told him, I said, I won't drive. And and then the subway system sometime in different areas. But there's just that culture. You've heard the stories of the cultural differences. Pray for that. Then pray for your missionary's accomplishment. Pray for God to use them. Here's what it's all about. It's all about God. It's all about God. Pray for your missionaries that God would be glorified. Proper theology says it's about God. Then pray that the gospel would be given. Pray that God would use them to give out the gospel. Then it would be genuine growth. Churches being started, churches being turned over. One thing about like a military work, a guy may go to different churches and start churches, but also like a military missionary will have a new congregation every 2 to 3 years. It constantly changes. Pray for genuine growth. Let me real quick tell you that story about old Scott and Debbie. So we got over there in our last church plant, and it wasn't, I would say it wasn't like our first church that we were involved in and God allowed us to rebuild a church over. This was actually from the ground up, and it was kind of unique. And so we were out putting out flyers, and this gentleman got a flyer, and they started coming, and they enjoyed the church, and they started growing in the Lord. To find out, the mom was saved at a military church years ago in Wiesbaden. The boys got saved in our children's church. Scott was saved. And I talked to him. He had a Lutheran background, but he was saved and born again. But he's like, and I was talking about being a part of the church. We went over baptism, and he was like, Pastor, pray for my parents. They're going to have a hard time with this. And so we prayed with them, and he explained it. But so this wonderful family joined our church. It was a wonderful thing. Watch them. You know where I got to baptize them all? In the Marriott Hotel in Stuttgart, Germany. It was a wonderful thing. They're like, hey, Pastor, let's just go swimming after baptism. You know, and so for Mother's Day, we baptized them, the three boys. Then we had another family that had three girls. So we baptized them three girls that were saved in our church for Mother's Day for their mom. So it was just a great day, like 6 in 1 day. Man, that was so encouraging. You want to talk about a missionary being pumped up, man. I was on cloud 9. And I started asking the workers if they were saved, did they want to get baptized at the hotel. It was pretty neat. God did wonderful things. Well, we were out playing football one day. You know, we were just throwing the ball around. We had this church picnic, and Scott and I, Scott was always so kind, considerate, and we began to talk military, and he asked me, he said, Pastor, he goes, you had service. I told him what I did, and I said, Scott, so what do you do? He goes, Pastor, I don't know what I'm doing. And then he began to tell me he was with the 10th Special Forces. So that tells you a lot right there, right? And I said, wow. So I was kind of intrigued, and he began to tell me about different things that the schools they sent him to is some of his training. He told me one time he stuck so much on a C4 on the door came down and shattered his ankle. But he was so humble. And he began to share with me things, military, and he was just a unique guy, very humble. I thank God for that family. Well, I'll never forget, they began to grow. The boys were growing the Lord, so I'll never forget, they were getting ready to deploy to, I think it was Afghanistan. Kind of the neatest thing, he said, "Hey, Pastor, how would you like to come pray for my team?" I said, "Oh, that'd be neat." I said, "You think the chaplain would be offended?" He goes, "Oh, Pastor," he goes, "we're the SF. We kind of do it our way." And he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just being truthful. He said, "Sides, you pray different than our chaplain does." And I'm not knocking chaplains. I love chaplains. I got good friends that are chaplains. But he wasn't who he was. And, you know, he said, "You come on, pray." So we went over there and we prayed with his team. And we told him, "Hey, we're praying for you." And we saw one get saved. We prayed with him. And then as they got down range, as they were over there, they were in movements and things like that. We made sure we sent them care packages. And I told the men that were praying for him, well, I'll never forget, there was some action going on, and Scott's helmet got sheared by a piece of rocket. Debbie was all up in arms, and I'll never forget, my precious wife went over and spent the night with Debbie all night, stayed over her house, helped her with the boys. Scott was all right. You know what Scott told his men? He said, "Guys," he said, "listen," he said, "I can't guarantee that we're all going back, but," he said, "I can guarantee you something." He said, "There's churches all across America praying for you." He goes, "My pastor knows quite a few people in churches that love their ministry, and I know they're praying for us tonight." He said, I know that we can go out here and know that God's going to take care of us, men." Man, a couple weeks later, they got in another firefight. And Scott was telling me, he said, "I was turning this way, rounds were coming everywhere, Pastor." He said, one of my guys said, "Hey, Scott, is your pastor praying for us?" You know what? Fortunately, God brought everybody back. Amen. Safe. Amen. It was a blessing. I'll never forget, as they were getting ready to leave, go to another duty station, Scott was always quiet. And I always like to give the men, if there's something on their heart in testimony, I'll never forget, I watched that SF gentleman stand up and tears running down his eyes. And he said, "Pastor, I want you to let every church know in America how much I appreciate their love for missions." He said, "If I could only tell you what this little church has done for my family, praying, teaching my boys to pray. My boys learned to pray in this church." He said, "Debbie and I got full custody of these boys, which should have never happened because of my time that I spent. But God allowed me to get custody of my boys." He said, "That was a miracle of God." And he said, our family needed this little church. And how many times was I discouraged as a pastor because maybe our numbers weren't what I thought they should be? But God gave us the numbers that he wanted us to have. Man, I watched God work in their lives. Well, let me share with you about that wedding. A few years back, I get a call, and so it's Debbie, and she's talking to Karen. She's like, "Hey, Nick's got something that, you know, normally it's customary that the bride picks out where the wedding's going to be or who officiates the wedding. Well, the bride on this case, she said, 'Nick, who would you want to officiate the wedding?'" Now think about this. It was several years. They rotated back to the States. We were here. I tried not to pastor nobody when they left our church. You know who he remembered? He remembered the missionary that was sent over to the field, whose wife talked to him about Jesus, led him to Christ, and taught that young teenager how to pray. He remembered that. He said, "Pastor, would you come perform our wedding?" So Nick has graduated with an engineer degree, his bride-to-be. We went back there. We had marriage counseling. And I was able to put them two young people together. Let me say, praying for your missionaries go a long ways, then I think missionaries have a responsibility to churches. We need to pray. We need to pray for churches. Pray for your missionaries' assets. Pray for right support, persistent support, and how to use that support. But I think missionaries have a responsibility to pray for churches. You pray for them churches that support you. You get behind them and you pray for them. Here's how I think a church, missionaries, kind of a thought. Missionaries ought to pray for churches for spiritual. That's the most important thing, what God is doing spiritually. Number two, pray for the physical needs of a church. I don't know about you, but our church is ravaged with some folks that are battling cancer. Some of our finest people are going through that struggle right now. It's not easy, is it? So pray physically for physical needs. I think it's important. We like it when churches will send us requests. So not being nosy, just want to say, Lord, bless these churches physically. I know there's people there. Then I don't mind praying this. I pray God bless churches financially. Amen? I pray that God blesses churches financially. Here's what I find. Most pastors, most churches, as God gives it to them, they send it out. You're just a vessel that it goes through. Amen? And I say, God bless churches financially. Take care of their needs. Meet their needs. And it's a joy.